Greetings to all of God's people. This is again Monica Joseph. We're today in lesson 342, and we are in Numbers 22 at this point. The prophet Balaam, and apparently he was a prophet of God, with problems, just like people say today, a good man with an attitude. Well, he had an attitude of covetousness, unfortunately, that was strong, too strong, and became his downfall. Nevertheless, he was a prophet of God, and it doesn't mean that because we are people of God, we're perfect people, we've got our own problems. A lot of righteous men of God had problems, and that became their downfall. Look how Solomon began his rule over Israel, a very righteous man, walked with God, God spoke to him, and look how he ended up. And so this is where we find this kind of a prophet. And God comes to him, and it seems to be that he has a relationship with him. It's not the first time. And so the account is written in such a way that you see it very plainly. It's sort of a matter of fact, a relationship that he has with him. And when he needs to know something, the first thing he does, he goes to God and asks him whether he can do it or not. And this is the first thing that he did here. So you can see an obedient person here, and yet he had a problem. And so we read here in verse 12, chapter 22, when God came to him by night, and basically he told him that he should not do that. Well, let's backtrack here to have a continuity here. And the people that were sent by Balak, the son of Zippor, the king of Moab, he sent them, the princes, in order to bring this prophet to curse the people of Israel. Didn't tell them the identity of the people, just said they came out of Egypt. And obviously, word traveled around. The whole world at the time knew about it, that the children of Israel were being delivered by God, and all the miracles and signs and wonders, people just traveled, and those kinds of things spread everywhere. That's why the people of Jericho and others were extremely fearful in all the other nations, because they knew what was happening here. And so they sent to this prophet, knowing that he is a prophet that has a link with God. He can curse, he can bless, things happen. And so they try to get him on their side. And the first thing he says to them, when they come to him and ask him for his help, he says, well, I cannot do anything unless I ask God to do it. And so he mentions the name of Jehovah. So he's fully aware of that name, and has a relationship with this God. And so he tells them, I have to ask him. And so they stay overnight, and at night God comes to him, and he asks him, who are those people? And he tells them about the commission that they came with. And so God replies, verse 12, and God said unto Balaam, you shall not go with them, you shall not curse the people, for they are blessed. In other occasions, where people were misbehaving themselves, God allowed Balaam, this prophet, to curse them. And when they were functioning properly, and when their actions and activities, whatever it may be, were pleasing in his sight, he allowed him to bless them. So you can see how God was dealing with the people in this area. And that, in essence, gives you a clue how God deals with many other peoples all around the earth. You see, and he uses people oftentimes to deliver messages, or to deal with them, or to give them knowledge and understanding, and so forth. In other words, there's an awful lot of information out there that a lot of people are not aware of in terms of the dealings of God with his people all around the earth, not only in specific the children of Israel. And when you read that carefully, after all, even with the children of Israel, when they were deeply into idolatry, he had prophets living among them, and there were some people around them that were righteous. You find in idolatrous Israel, that's where Elijah came, that's where Elisha was, you see. And they were not in Judah, they were in Israel, who were totally into idolatry under, King Ahab. You see? So just because people totally go astray from him, or much, of their information and knowledge is not of him, it does not mean that God says, okay, forget all about you, I don't deal with you anymore. He did not stop dealing with Israel for centuries, in spite of their idolatry, and to this very day, he still deals with his people to one degree or the other. You see, and there is knowledge of God among his people, even though that is mixed up with confusion. And so this is what we find here. And so he tells them, Balaam to tell the princess he isn't going to do it. And so Balaam, verse 13, we read, and Balaam rose up in the morning, so that was obviously at night when it happened, the vision, and said unto the princess of Balak, get you into your land, for the Eternal, Jehovah, refuses to give me leave to go with you. In other words, I'm his servant. I do his bidding. If he lets me do it, I'll do it. If he doesn't, I'm not going to disobey him. And this is not a prophet of Israel. You see? But when you understand the full scheme, the way God functions and the way he deals, you know, with all of his children upon the face of the earth, you see, if you say, well, this is not a prophet of Israel, so what? Does it have to be a prophet of Israel to be a prophet of God? You see, that was the thought that developed later on as time went by the people of Judah. You see, and this is the attitude that many organizations have. If you're not of us, you're out. And that's what the disciples of Jesus Christ came and told Christ. Hey, we heard about those kind of people and they're performing signs and wonders and, you know, and they're speaking your name and things like that, whatever it may be. Forbid them because they're not following us. You see that attitude there? And Christ told them, in essence, what for? You think you're the only ones that, you know, I'm dealing with, you know, that God deals with? Let them talk. Whatever they say, if it is of God, if it is right, if it's not contrary to us, what's wrong with that? So people say, well, he's not a prophet of Israel. So what? You see? Well, he's not of our organization. So what? And look where we are today with the same attitude. You see? That's what Joshua was saying. Moses, Lord, forbid them. You know those two people that were prophesying without the camp? If God called them, he put his spirit on them, he dealt with them, and they prophesied. But they were not here among us, you know, with this clique. You know, they were not in headquarters. So what? And so what happens to us? We become ignorant and arrogant, oftentimes. And we do not acknowledge the fact that God does what he does, whatever he does, you know, whenever he wants, with whomever he wants. And it's not up to us to determine that they are not of God or they are of God. If what they do is not contrary to God, they are of God. If what they do is contrary to God, his word, things like that, well, obviously, by their works, by their fruit, you shall know them. And unfortunately, a lot of people are being taught to become narrow-minded. And you find all those organizations, and it's been always like that. You know, unless you are a part of us, unless you go exactly by all the things that we say and believe in all that, you're out, you're not one of us, you're not of God, and God works only with me, and God speaks only through me. That's the height of arrogance, and unfortunately that people develop when they begin to personalize power and authority, and they say, me and you, God, and no one else. You see, that's a statement that God said about Babylon. That's the way Babylon functioned, and talked. You see, God and I, you know, and no one else. You read it in the words of Jeremiah. Well, there's no humility there. And this is what we see here. A case like that. 2-3 chakras. As a matter of fact, a Jew to this very day, when he wakes up in the morning, the first words of the prayer, long before, you know, the morning prayer, well, if you are in Israel and you speak Hebrew, you hear it on the radio when they turn on the radio broadcast in the morning. The first thing they do is reading some scriptures, and this song is sung there, which is sung in the synagogue also every Sabbath day and also every morning. Words that Balaam, the prophet, who is not a prophet of Israel, spoke. How goodly are your tents, O Israel! You see, and it's interesting. He is a prophet that some people consider to be a false prophet, and he was not. It's because of ignorance that people would say that, because they're not paying attention to what they're reading. And his words are preserved in the prayer books of Judah to this very day. And that's what the Jew says in the morning, first thing in the morning, the words of Balaam. You see? Sometimes our thinking is very strange, and we don't realize it. We think that we are sane and sound, and we are not. So, we should always be considerate of all kind of things and consider all things before we open our mouth or we make fools out of ourselves. And so, Balaam rises in the morning And he said unto the princes of Balak, get you into your land, for the Eternal refuses to give me leave to go with you. See, that's the end of the story for me. He lets me go, I do. I'm his servant. He's my God. Verse 14, and the princes of Moab rose up, and they went unto Balak, and said, Balaam refuses to come with us. They don't say, well, God told him he cannot come. He just said he refuses to come with us. And Balak sent yet again princes, more and more honorable than they. He thought, well, maybe just he needs more respect and honor and more money and things like that. That's what he thinks. Well, that's not the way Balaam thinks. Balaam thinks very plain. If God lets me, I'll do it. If he doesn't, I don't. And so he sends more honorable people. And they came to Balaam and said to him, thus says Balak the son of Zippor, let nothing, I pray you, hinder you from coming unto me. In other words, prestige, money, whatever, anything you ask, we'll give it to you. And they thought this is what was the problem. And it was not. It was God. You see? God forbade him from going. So it was not at this point still a matter of money. And so this is what they said to him. And verse 17, for I will promote you unto very great honor, and whatsoever you say unto me, I will do. Come therefore, I pray you, curse me these people. And again we read the answer of Balaam. And Balaam answered, and he said unto the servants of Balak, if Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Eternal, my Elohim, my God. He is a prophet who is not a prophet of Israel. So what? He's a prophet of God. You see? God does not limit himself to any people, to anyone. Wherever there are people who fear him and tremble at his word and obey him, he's going to have respect to them. You see? This is what Peter was talking about. A lot of us still don't know it. Especially the leaders among us in many other organizations and groups. Are arrogant and haughty and self-exalted in their own sight, think, you know, you're either with me or you're nobody, you're nothing. You see? Those people really do not know the law of God. They think that they do, but they're mostly ignorant, and they've got more ignorance and arrogance than they have the truth and the knowledge of God, unfortunately, in them. A lot of people just follow them, you know, as idol worshippers without even thinking. They do not prove all things. That's the reason why, you know, that's one of the major reasons why we have divisions. And we've always had divisions, and people always have divisions, you see. And you have divisions in the synagogue, you know, among the people of Judah, where you would think all of them should be of the same God, the same truth, the same teachings. They're all divided, and they hate one another. Oftentimes, they speak evil of one another. That's the reason. This is the attitude behind it. They don't see God. They see only themselves. And when people begin to see themselves, they cannot see anybody else. They can't see God, certainly, in anything that he does anywhere on the face of the earth. So we should learn not to be this kind of people. You see, not to be fools, but to walk in the light, not in darkness. Verse 19 is what he says here. I don't care how much you give me. I'm not going to go beyond the word of the Eternal, my God. Now, how many of us can say that? You see the measure of righteousness of the prophet here, in spite of the problem that he still had at the same time. So far, so good. And so he said, I cannot go beyond the word of the Eternal, my God, my Elohim, the word of Jehovah, you see, the Eternal, my Elohim. And that was his Elohim. He didn't have other idols. And to do anything small or great, now therefore I pray you, tell you also here this night, that I may know what the Eternal will speak unto me more. In other words, whatever he's going to tell me, this is what I'm going to do, because he's the boss. He's my God. I'm his servant. You see? And again, we're not talking about a prophet of Israel. No, we're not talking about a prophet of Israel. We're talking about a prophet of God. And this is what we have to remember. You don't have to be a prophet of Israel to be a prophet of God. You see? You don't have to be of the nation of Israel, and that's exactly what God says. You know, that's the way you behave. Okay, I'm going somewhere else. You see, I'm going to deal with people who are willing to listen. And that's when he began to deal also with the nations, you know, through his prophet at the time, the disciples, and that's what Paul said. You know, he goes to the synagogue, and you know, they are not willing to listen. He said, well, I'm shaking the dust of my feet, and I'm going somewhere else. I'm going to the Gentiles. And the Gentiles were very happy. Now, it does not mean that he totally rejected his people. He continued to go because the next action of the Apostle Paul was going to the synagogue when he went to another city. And what he meant about that particular group, you see? So wherever God sees people who are not willing to listen to him, he's going to go somewhere else where people are willing to listen to him, regardless of where they are, what nation, what people, what language, what tongue. You see, we should learn to be humble and meek and small in our own sight and not self-exalting and thinking that, oh no, God is never going to forsake us. He's going to remain within this organization no matter what. He made it very plain. I don't function like that. And so he says here, now therefore I pray you, tarry you also here this night that I may know what the Eternal will speak unto me more. And God came unto him, that is Balaam, at night, and said unto him, if the men are come to call you, you see, if they come, rise up and go with them. So now when he gives him permission to go, he goes. But only the words which I speak unto you, you shall do. You see? So God is in absolute charge. Balaam acknowledges that. But apparently God also senses that there is a problem there. You see, that he's not recording here. But he acknowledges, he senses there is a problem. He knows that there is a problem also with Balaam. Besides the fact that he says, well, I'm not going to do anything unless God tells me. He realizes that there's something in him that is not really right. And this is what we read here. And so he says to him, if the men are come to call you, rise up, go with them, but only the words which I speak unto you. So God is orchestrating this whole thing. You know, Balak thinks he's going to get away with whatever he's going to do is wrong. God is in charge among his people, where they were there, right near the border of Israel, and God's in charge of what's happening there in Babylon with his prophet and the people around him. And God is in charge everywhere. And that's why when he dealt with Nebuchadnezzar again came to realize that many of us still don't understand, that God rules, you see, among all the kingdoms of the earth, and he gives it to whomsoever he wants. And he deals with this person and deals with that person. And it's not up to us to tell God, you're either with us or else you're out. That's in essence what people say when they say, well, God is only speaking through me and he's doing things only through this organization and we are the organization. All these things, or whatever, you know, compliments we give ourselves, and anybody else is out there. You see, doesn't belong to God. Those are arrogant people that think that way. And a lot of fools follow them. You see, they become idol worshippers because they do not study the Word of God to really know their God. A lot of people don't know their God. They know a few things about Him, but they don't know Him. They don't study His Word day and night. They don't eat His flesh. They don't drink His blood. That's why it's easy to deceive many people. And only the very elect are not being deceived. And you see it, and you're going to see so much more so. People are going to follow other men rather than God and fall for so many foolish things that are going to happen, and also things that Satan, the devil, and his demons are going to do in the midst of the people of God. And people will fall for it because they do not study the Word of God day and night to prove all things, to be able to even prove all things. You see, the Bereans were people who were very, very well versed in the law of God. And that's why, you know, they could say, well, you know, with all due respect to Paul, you know, we're going to check you out, you know, in the Bible. And if what you say is fine, no problem. You see? They were not about to say, well, only if somebody from this synagogue speaks to us, we're going to believe, and we don't care about anybody else because we don't think that God is anywhere but here. You see? No, they went to the Word of God. This is where God is. And if people do that, that's okay. So we should not be fearful of listening to anything or anyone. If what they say is of God, why reject it? If we do reject God. If what they say is not of God and we study the Word of God, well, that's a different story. But it's not men that should govern our minds to tell us, you know, whether it be of God or not. It's the Word of God itself that should tell us those things. You see? Now, the Spirit of God leads us to truth. It does not lead us to men. Verse 20. And so God came unto him to Balaam at that night and said to him, if the men are come with you, rise up, go with them, but only the word which I speak unto you, you shall do. And Balaam was going to obey that. Verse 21, and Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his ass and went with the princes of Moab. Now we read something that sounds, you know, very strange. Well, since God told him to go and he is going, why this? Verse 22, and God's anger was kindled because he went. Well, he's the one that told him to go. Well, what's happening here? Is there a contradiction here? No. As the story goes and unfolds later on, you find out that there was something of a problem, you see. And later on, as the apostles speak about that, about the madness of the prophet, you see, the covetousness that was in him, that was a problem, you see. And the righteousness of Balaam, unfortunately, was mixed with the love of filthy lucre. And he showed it in his conduct, in his behavior, in his feelings and thoughts and attitudes and emotions. And God detected that and he knew about it, you see. And this is what he was angry with. Not necessarily because he went. He told him to go. But he saw that in Balaam's heart, the reason why he went is not because he was going to serve God only. He was thinking about all the gold and silver and all the prestige and everything else God, this king was going to give him. You see? And these are people that already have only one intent. They want to curse the people of God that God already told them they're blessed. So, why is he going? You see? You see the mixture there between his willingness to go because of covetousness and also he went because God told him to go. So, you know, put all these things together, you begin to get the picture. And oftentimes the way the Bible is written, the way God records his word is confusing to people who have no wisdom. We're not able to discern. And so the thing, oh, contradictions, here it is, another one of them. So many contradictions. Who can trust the Bible? I cannot understand it. And that's what people say. Unfortunately, now you've got to read between the lines and get the whole picture and what's really behind it. And what is it that God is pleased with and what is it that God is angry with? You see, and this is what he was angry with. The wrong attitude that was on the part of the prophet. Also, the covetousness that was in him. And so, God's anger was kindled because he went. And the angel of the Lord placed himself. Now, God, it says, God was angry, and then the angel of the Lord. Who is this angel of the Lord? You see? And again, you know, if you don't know their background, you think somebody else. No, it's the same person. It's God. That's the angel of the Lord. And he placed himself in the way for an adversary against him. Now he was riding upon an ass, and his two servants were with him. And the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his sword drawn in his hand, and the ass turned aside out of the way and went into the field. And Balaam smote the ass to turn her into the way. Of course, you know, he didn't realize what was happening, thought just, you know, the ass was acting. And this is what he did. Then the angel of the Lord stood in a hollow way, in a very narrow path, between the vineyards, a fence being on this side and a fence on that side. So, the angel now, you know, this is God, standing there, and the ass has the eyes open, and the ass sees the angel of the Lord, and Balaam doesn't. And so the ass, donkey, you know, that is of Balaam, at this point, smarter than the one riding on top of her. And first, look what God is doing here. He's not opening the eyes of the prophet to see, but he's opening the eye of the donkey. And some people think, well, God is not going to talk to you. You're nothing but a donkey. You see? Oftentimes they talk about people like that. You're nobody. God is not going to talk to you. Well, here he is. God opened the eyes of the donkey and not the man, not the prophet, not the prophet of God. You know, that should teach us humility. And not only that, he opened the mouth of the donkey to speak. Went beyond that. You see, that's an example. That's the way God deals with humanity. Those who are humble, God exalts. Those who are exalted in their own sight, God is going to abase. He's not going to deal with arrogant people. There are too many arrogant people in our midst. And God is not dealing with them. But he's going to deal with the humble. With the meek. That's what Jesus Christ said. You know, I thank you, Lord, you know, that you have not dealt, you know, with the wise and the prudent. You've hidden this truth from them, but you revealed it to the babes. You see? Unless leaders learn to have like babes, humble in their own sight, small in their own sight, it's a sure sign God is not with them. You see? As much as they think that he's with them, So it is here. He is the prophet of God. He should have been attuned to the voice of God, to the nature of God, to know that his attitude was wrong. And God was not dealing with him, but he was dealing with his donkey. And that's where often, you know, it happens when God deals with humanity, be it his own people or anybody else. You know, these are lessons to learn for all of us who are in this category of Balaam. And so the angel of the Lord stood in that place, and the fence on either side, and the ass saw the angel of the Lord again. Balaam doesn't, but the ass does. And she thrust herself unto the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall. And he smote her again. In other words, she was afraid. You know, she was not about to go and barge, you know, through the, you know, the place where the angel of the Lord was standing. And so she went in that direction. Well, God is directing all that too. And so he smote her again. And the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where was no way to turn either to the right hand nor to the left. And mind you, this is what God is orchestrating throughout all this. You know, he could have just dealt with it in a very simple way, just open his eyes and make him understand or speak to him. But you see, there are a lot of lessons to learn from this. And that's why all these things are recorded, and that's why God is doing all these things. You know, sometimes to let you know that a lot of big shots are not, or are even less smart than a donkey in their behavior. You see? Because they behave just like that. And their donkeys behave, you know, well, people who are under them, who are nobodies, have much greater wisdom and link and closeness to God than the high and the mighty. There are a lot of spiritual lessons here that God is recording for us. And all these things are not happening in vain, or just, you know, God is having fun doing it. Everything is purposeful. And so the angel now stands in a place where there is no way to go either way. And verse 27, and the ass saw the angel of the Lord, and she lay down under Balaam. Simple. I'm not going anywhere. I can go right, I can go left, I'm just going to lie down. And that's what she does. And now, Balaam's anger was kindled. It says earlier, the anger of the Lord is kindled. Now Balaam's anger is kindled. And he smote the ass with his staff. And the Lord, at this point, opened the mouth of the ass, and she said unto Balaam, what have I done unto you that you have smitten me these three times? And Balaam doesn't say, wait a minute, you're an ass, how come you're talking? Oh no, here's a conversation with her. That tells you about Balaam. And Balaam said unto the ass, because you have mocked me, I would there were a sword in my hand, for now I have killed you. Isn't that the attitude oftentimes of leaders? When God wants to speak to them through somebody who is nobody. You see? A lot of lessons there to consider. Verse 30, and the ass said unto Balaam, am not I your ass, upon which you have ridden all your life long to this day? Was I ever wont to do so unto you? And he said, no. And then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam. After all that, now he's having conversation with the donkey, you know, on the way. Here's a great prophet of God that curses people and they are cursed, that blesses people and they are blessed, that speaks to God, God speaks to him, and he's having conversation with the donkey, arguing with the donkey there. That's an awful lot of humor on the part of God, but also tells you an awful lot of people, of exalted leaders, you see, of where they really stand in the sight of God when they behave the way they do. And so now God steps in. And the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his sword drawn in his hand, and he bowed his head and fell on his face. Now before whom does he do it? Before the angel of the Lord. Now this is a prophet of God. He knows you do not bow down before an angel, but he knows this angel is God. You see? And the angel of the Lord said unto him, wherefore have you smitten your ass these three times? Behold, I am come forth for an adversary, Satan, that's the word here, because your way is contrary unto me. You see? Because God already told him, I bless Israel. And Balak told him to come and curse Israel. And it's interesting the word that he used there. We didn't mention it at the time. But in verse 12, Balak, when he sends, you know, him, ask him to come and curse Israel, he's using a word here which is very interesting. And actually in verse 6, it says, you come curse the people. Well, the word that he uses here is ara. And then later on, in verse 12, when God came to Balak by Balaam by night, he tells him, you shall not curse him. In other words, lo ta'or in Hebrew. Very interesting word, because this word ta'or means two things, contradictory things. It means bless, and it also means curse. And ta'or comes from the word or, light. You see? Very interesting in Hebrew. In other words, you can curse someone, but God can turn that curse into a blessing. You can bless someone, God can turn that blessing into a curse. If you are obedient to God or disobedient, that would determine that here. And this man, when God told him that he's going to bless Israel, he's coming to curse them, using the same word, you see. And yet God is the one that would determine whether the blessing is going to be a curse or the curse is going to be a blessing. And so God now speaks to him directly. Still, he's mentioned here as the angel of the Lord. And Balaam immediately recognizes him. He gets down to the ground and he bows before him. Again, you don't do it before an angel, but before God you can. And that's what he does here. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, wherefore have you smitten your ass these three times? Behold, I am come forth for an adversary, because your way is contrary unto me. Me, the angel of the Lord, me who is God, because I told you not to do it. You know, that is with the attitude that you have, you see. And the ass saw me and turned aside before me these three times. Unless she had turned aside from me, surely now I had even slain you and saved her life. And Balaam said unto the angel of the Lord, I have sinned, for I knew not that you stood in the way against me. Now therefore, if it displeases you, I will get me back. And the angel of the Lord said unto Balaam, go with the men, but only the word that I shall speak unto you, that you shall speak. And that's exactly what he told him when he came to him in a dream earlier. And there he's mentioned as God. And now he's mentioned as the angel of the Lord. You see? And it goes back and forth. And obviously, when people have no eyes to see, they cannot see that. And they think, well, this is an angel. And that's unfortunately what happens to the minds and the hearts of many people. They're so confused that they can read the words of God and they can never understand them. And certainly, you know, all the wise rabbis to this very day cannot see it for the life of them. Even though some of them scratch their head. Even, you know, in this very book, you know, there is an admission here somewhere earlier. I think we read it. Where in the commentary he admits that I guess sometimes angels are called Elohim. No, angels are never called Elohim unless they are. You see? And this one is God himself. He's the one that became Jesus Christ, and he's appearing here as the angel of the Lord, because he is the messenger of God, the Most High. And this is what he tells him. Only the things that I will tell you, he will say, just like he told him in the beginning. You're going to go there, fine, but you're going to say only the things that I tell you. And here he's repeating that, only here, appearing, or causing to be recorded, these words, angel of the Lord. And he basically is telling Moses, write it this way. You see, Moses is recording it. Because obviously Moses wasn't there, so he doesn't know. So God tells him all those things, and he tells him to record this. That's how Moses knows to record all these things. And this is God himself speaking. And so we read in verse 31, then the Lord opened, that's God, that's the angel that opened his eyes. He's the only one that is there. It's not two personalities. You know, when you read the context, it's very simple to understand that, especially when the eyes are not blind. And so we read, and then the Eternal, or Jehovah, opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord. In other words, that's how Moses is giving this information, that's how God is dictating it to Moses, you know. When the angel, that is when the Lord, when I, in essence, opened the eyes of Balaam, then, the ass saw the angel of the Lord. And so he's, in essence, introducing himself both ways. And obviously, you know, people that don't understand that thing, you know, there is God there and there is also an angel. There are two there, but throughout the whole account, you see there is only one person there. and especially when you know all the other statements about the angel of the Lord, then this is very easy to understand. And so the angel of the Lord is seen now by Balaam's ass, and Balaam himself now sees him, and so he's not blind anymore. And so that's what we read here. Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord. That's for the first time. And the angel of the Lord that he saw was God himself. He's standing in the way with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua experienced the same thing. Before he was going to conquer Jericho, it says there in Joshua that he went out there and he saw a man with his sword in his hand, drawn. And he came to him, you know, he just looked like a man. And he asked him, "Are you with us or against us?" And his reply was, "No, I am the captain of the hosts of the Lord." And that's one of the names of God, the one that became Jesus Christ. And as soon as he heard it, you see, he bowed down to the ground. And that's what Balaam is doing here. He bowed down to the ground because he recognized him as God. And he told him to take his shoes off his feet. Why? Because the place where he stands is holy. Now, no angel would ever say that. You see, only God can. And the first time he did it is with Moses. And there, again, you know, read about the angel of the Lord, you know, the angel that appeared in the bush, and then God speaking to him. So, you know, for people that have eyes to see, and for the children of Israel, for the Jews, until their minds became blinded, this was simple knowledge and understanding for them. They knew that there is the Most High, and that they knew that there is one that he sends constantly to deal with them, and he is also an eternal being. He is God. You see, he's Elohim, and he's also Jehovah, and he has all those other titles. But what happens when blindness descends on people, and the veil is placed upon their head? Well, now they cannot see anymore. So, with whatever they understand now, they begin to invent their own knowledge, and so they came up with this concept of monotheism. Only one God, period. You see? That was not the understanding of all the Jews before that, or all the children of Israel before that. That's why Christ said, you know, had you believed Moses, you see, they never believed Moses. Why? Because once upon a time they knew what Moses was saying, because they heard it from him. You see, and then they passed it on to generation to generation. But what happens when people go so far away from God? Well, they lose whatever they have. And so now, even though they read the law of Moses, there are many things they cannot see and understand anymore. You see, because their eyes now are blind to many, many aspects of the truth, and they cannot see it. That's the reason when he appears before them, even though all this information was there, they could not see it. But that was not the case with everyone. You see, men like Nathanael, and there were many others, they had no problem recognizing him as the second being in that divine family. You see, that's why he told him. Just by speaking to him, Jesus Christ said, you know, before I, you know, while you were sitting under the fig tree, or whatever that tree was sitting under, he said, "I saw you," and that's all was required for Nathanael to declare that he is the Son of God. And you cannot be a son of God unless you're God. That's the way. That's something the Jews understood. That's the reason why they persecuted him and finally had him crucified. Because from their point of view, they did not believe that he's the Son of God. That means he is God, and you know, to them that was blasphemy. And for blasphemy, you kill people. And so, this is, you know, plain information here, but what happens when you're blind, it's no longer plain. You know, for every one of us to look at blue or red or green, you know, it's no big problem. You see it and you know what it is, but what happens when you're blind? How do you explain to a blind person what blue is and green and red? You can't. You see, and that's what happens when the veil is upon the eyes of people and they don't know it. And so this is what we read here. And so he opens his eyes now and he's confronting him. He sees him with a sword in his hand, just like Joshua did. And at this point he bowed his head and fell on his face. You see, you never do that to an angel. And the prophet Balaam knew it. He's a prophet of God. He works with God. He talks to God. God speaks through him. You see. And he's not ignorant of that. And the only reason why he bowed his head and fell on his face, it's because he was standing before God. Though he's introduced, and obviously Moses is the one recording it, you see. Balaam doesn't say, well, this is the Lord, this is an angel, you see. This is what God dictates to Moses. And that's the manner in which he chose to do it. One time an angel, one time the Lord. It's the same personality. And so the angel of the Lord said unto him, wherefore have you smitten your ass these three times? Behold, I am come forth as an adversary. And adversary here in Hebrew is Satan. You see? And so in essence, God is saying to him that I'm coming to you here as Satan. You see? And Satan means adversary. So any person who is in that position of an adversary, you can call him Satan, but you don't mean that devil, you know, the serpent, you see, because he's called Satan because of what he does. He's an adversary. So adversary does not mean the devil, you see. Adversary means a person who is opposing you. And that's what the word Satan means. So it's applicable also to the devil, but it's applicable to every single person on the face of the earth who is in a position of an adversary to you. And sometimes, you know, an adversary is not necessarily an evil person. It's just like, you know, when you play games and you got the other team and they are, you know, against you. Obviously, that's the nature of the game. And you're against them. So it's sort of an adversarial game, you know, which each one is trying to win the game. And sometimes it is evil. So you have the adversary relationship there, just one opposing the other. Just like, you know, you find in politics. There's an awful lot of malice there, and they want to shoot down each other and speak evil of each other. That's a different adversarial relationship. And so, you know, that's what he's saying here. God is saying that he's Satan. Well, what he means, he's an adversary now. And that's what God told his people. If you will be against me, I will be against you. You see? If you behave like Satan, like an adversary to me, I will be an adversary to you. So this is what we read here. And so it says, I am come forth for an adversary that is against you, because your way is contrary unto me. You see, that was the problem with Balaam. God told him, yes, you go. And he told him that, obviously knowing what was in the heart of Balaam. And he didn't like that. He let him go anyway, because he was going to turn his, you know, whatever he was going to say into blessing. And to begin with, he wouldn't allow to curse Israel. But still, he's showing two things here. And oftentimes, God allows us to do many things. It does not mean that he's approving of it. You see? It does not mean that he approves, let's say, of what the devil does to planet Earth. But he allows him to do those kind of things. And oftentimes, he sends the devil to afflict his people, to punish them. It does not mean that he appreciates his mind and his nature and what's really behind it and the attitude. And God oftentimes, he raises enemies to his own people to come and conquer them and destroy them, but he's not happy with their attitude when they do it with a spiteful mind, with a rejoicing heart. In other words, they love to do evil, and he abhors that, and then he turns around and he clobbers them. And so he did to all the enemies of Israel. So this is what he's talking about here. Yeah, yes, I sent you, I told you to go, but I don't like, you know, what's in your heart. I don't like the way in which you walk. That's the way of Balaam, the way of Cain, the way of greed. You see, and many of us, unfortunately, are in this category. And oftentimes the people of God are that way too. You see, we do the work of God, we do it oftentimes with malice and with adversarial relationship. You know, we oppose other groups, we put them down and so forth, even though God commanded us to do his work. And that's what he's saying here. You got to do it with the right attitude when you do the work of God. And Balaam didn't have it. Yet he was doing the work of God. It's a lesson for all of us to learn that. Verse 33, and the ass saw me, that's because he opened the eyes of the ass, and turned aside before me these three times. Unless you had turned aside from me, surely now I had even slain you and saved her life. You know, that's how angry he was with the attitude of Balaam. Verse 34, and Balaam said unto the angel of the Lord, you see, now he's not, you see, Balaam is not thinking the angel of the Lord. This is how God causes Moses to record it. So you have to understand that. He's not sending them and says, oh, you are an angel of the Lord. You know, he's not speaking to an angel of the Lord. He's speaking to God. But God caused Moses to record it in this manner. So you have to understand what is really happening here. Oftentimes people read the Bible and they don't realize how it is being written. Who is writing it? Why is it written that way? What's the context? What's the background? Verse 34, and Balaam said unto the angel of the Lord, I have sinned, for I knew
I knew not that you stood in the way against me. Now, therefore, if it displease you, I will get me back. Well, the sin of Balaam was not just that he didn't see God, but his sin was his way. So he did not acknowledge that. He should have acknowledged that. It was his way, his attitude that was wrong. You see? Well, all he's saying is, well, I'm sorry, I didn't see it here. Now, that's not a real kind of repentance.
And so, well, if you don't want me, I'll go back. Well, anyway, we're going to stop at this point. This is again Mordecai Joseph, greetings to all of God's people. Until next time.